Moving on to action item number six, discussion and possible action on Lake Granbury Canal engineering study by Kent Rendy.
Mr. Chairman and board members, if I could just very briefly for the general manager here anyway, for those of you that are new or fairly new anyway, for some history, for about 6 years we have conducted sampling, especially for E. coli up in Lake Granbury because of the older canal systems that we have up there and some of the concerns that we have for the quality of water. About the fall of 2002, we established a moratorium with the city and county as far as any more cut-throughs on the lake up there for development, housing development with canals. May of 2006, the board voted at that time to extend that moratorium until we completed our watershed protection plan at Lake Granbury. The city of Granbury was very intense after that, that they felt like we were in some way really putting back their or slowing down their economic development around the lake because of that. With negotiations with them, we agreed to undertake this canal engineering study that we did with Brown and Gay. We bid that out. They were the folks that received the contract. What we wanted to do and what we told the city was, hey, if we can come up with some design standards for the canals that we feel like at least with some type of science would be water quality friendly, then we'd work toward that end with this study to see what we were able to come up with. And that's what I'm briefing today, kind of the culmination of the study. I'm not going to ask yet today that we lift the moratorium on the canal development at this juncture until, if the board does approve this today, until we're able to sit with the city and county and get all of these guidelines in some type of enforcement mechanism with them and implement it. And then at that time that we're satisfied with that, we'll come back to the board with a potential recommendation to lift the canal development moratorium that we have at Granbury right now. Again, it's been about 15 months since we started the study. It was three phases that we show at the bottom there, and the real objective here was to look at how we could be water quality friendly and maintain that criterion for dissolved oxygen of 5.0 or more in any type of standard that we came up with. Next slide, please, Jennifer. These are the standards, and I think you do have a copy, have had a copy to review of the report from Brown and Gay. No dead-end canals. Canals greater than 650 feet in length will require multiple entrances, flared entrances as well. A minimum canal depth of 10 feet, a maximum of 15 feet, and we feel like that's the optimum, at least for the dissolved oxygen that we're looking for. The width of 100 feet, and then canal design with the gradual bends along the canal to encourage a flow through there, get better water flow through in that. Next slide, please. We did feel like that we ought to at least provide some flexibility if there was a request for that in the development of canals up there, if in fact we move forward with that, so that we could at least look at that. And we basically have mandated that if there is a variance to the standards that you just saw, that we would require a outside third-party engineer to look at those standards and give us the concurrence that it did protect the water quality that we were looking for. And then we'd also have additional sampling in that would go along with that if that were to be the case. Next slide. Again, I've touched on this. Our next step would be, if you approve this, to sit down with the city and county, go through these restrictions and these specifications, have them implement them within their zoning and subdivision ordinances, whatever that might be, to get the enforcement in there. We'd want to see a maintenance bond, certainly for stability of any type of canal or bank structures that they would put in there, certainly for those canals. And then we'd want to be able to participate in their plan reviews as well for such a development, at least to get a good feel that they were in adherence to what we were looking at.
Okay, next slide. I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about having them put up a maintenance bond, and I'm assuming this is for all future canals.
That's correct.
Would you agree that we have issues with existing canals.
Yes, we do.
Is there not an opportunity here for us to put in some kind of a maintenance bond up by either the county or the city or both that will take into consideration problems that we have with existing canals? And the reason why I'm telling you this is my assistant bought a house on a canal that evidently every time it rains, there's debris and all kind of garbage. And she comes into the office griping about the BRA. And I think there's an opportunity here because next meeting or the meeting after that or whenever you take this to the city and they get it approved, you're going to come back and you're going to ask us to lift the moratorium. If we're giving them something, and this was the point that I was trying to make in the last meeting, if we're giving them something, I think we ought to get something in return. We've already said that with the boat loading study, it's not good for the lake to do any more canals. Now we're going back based on political environments and stating, okay, we'll give you more canals, and they're going to meet these certain standards that still is, in some portions of the lake, going to be detrimental as per the boat loading study, and I think we ought to be getting something if we're giving something. Is there an opportunity here to do that, to accomplish that?
Laura Lee, from a legal perspective, you
Before
think there
you
is?
Before you answer his question, can I add a little bit to it? You can answer both of them at one time.
Yes, sir.
Basically, his question was my question with a follow add-ons. There are two different issues at Lake Granbury. The first one is the canal issue, and I bring up like Port Ridgely and those areas. My question is that really a canal issue, or is Port Ridgely a poor septic tank issue?
It's probably as much that, but just the fact that the environment that those canals are in and the way they're structured, it just adds to it. I mean, you get a lot of stagnant water, but certainly the sewage issue is an issue.
If you look at those Port Ridgely numbers, the real bad ones are right up close to the open canal at the lake, not back into the back of it.
Yeah.
It suggests that there's some leaking septic in there.
Right.
The second question is on the debris that comes down. There are a number of natural creeks and bays on that lake that are not cut canals that get an enormous amount of debris from upstream ranches anytime it rains. That's an issue that may not be a canal issue. It may be a creek issue. And I'd like for you to address my two issues along with this.
Well, you know, as far as the second part of that is in the debris that you get in those areas, we pretty much have taken the position, right, wrong, or indifferent, based on the manpower that we have and the enforcement capability that we have, that we have not historically gone in to do any cleanouts within those areas, Director Moore, if that's what you're talking about.
No, that's not my question. He was asking if we could get a commitment out of the city or the county.
Let me respond, I think, a little bit to that. Part of what we've been negotiating with the county and the city is we put the moratorium on, and that certainly they're desirous of us, at least the city is, of us lifting that moratorium. And what we've advised both the county and the city is, if you look at the statutes, they very clearly have regulatory authority through their platting. And it seems as though that would be the appropriate time to evaluate the canal cut-throughs, because in theory they're going to have engineers coming in and preparing plats, showing how the subdivisions are going to be prepared, et cetera. And that really they would be the party with the appropriate authority and power via the statutory authority and power they have to regulate that. So part of what the deal is we intend to go and have already begun the process of talking to the city and county and saying, look, this is what the Brazos River Authority thinks would make sense. And if we can get some sort of agreement with regard to the technical specifications, will y'all incorporate those specifications into your subdivision ordinance and regulate to enforce that? Because they have a very clear-cut mechanism through statute to regulate subdivisions. So that was at least our initial thought on how we would get the enforcement you know, going, because they'll have to prepare a plat, they'll have to show what their public dedication is, they will have to lay all that out, a developer will, and will bring that to the county anyway, and as part of that plat, they would have surveyed out that area, which is the canal, they would show the depth, they would have their engineering plan, and I believe under the plan, Kent, there was some ability for variance if it was going to be a dead-end canal with specific aeration, if that was approved, and they would have to come in with those technical requirements. And then usually the county or the city would have their engineer or a third-party engineer evaluate those specifications and determine whether they meet the requirement.
But I think Director Gere's concern, Laura Lee, is how do we, if we're going to move forward eventually with a new
part, what you're telling me, though,
go back and get something to fix the
On existing canals, though, if it rains and floods and it backs up with limbs and debris and everything else, we have no responsibility to clean that out.
No, we have never taken that responsibility.
Hey, what's our environmental responsibility?
We have gone in at least one time. When did we do the big cleanup there? We did one last summer because we could see that it was beginning to have an environmental impact. The limbs and so forth were sinking. It was causing a problem, and we went in and did that at that time because it was deemed to be in the best interest of the lake. But as far as a responsibility requirement, we don't believe we have it. We did it because it was the right thing to do.
Okay. So from a policing standpoint, do we investigate the existing canals to determine if there is an impact to our lake?
At this juncture in time, that has not been proposed.
Sir, we've pretty much taken the position with the different developments and the different areas there, that if there's debris in that that needs to be cleaned out, that the homeowners association, the individuals, do that.
But there's no enforcement.
No.
Okay.
No.
Then is there?
The same thing is true about the enforcement of the septic. I mean, we don't enforce it. We report it, and then Hood County enforces it today, right now.
Okay, but if we report, and septics are a little bit different, because there's a governing entity over that. If there is an existing canal that's backed up with debris, spare tires, limbs, old boat floats, issues like that, does the county or anyone at this point enforce cleanup? And that's why I'm asking the question, is there an opportunity here with this to get the county to partner with us? We're increasing their tax revenue by allowing these canal cut-throughs. Is there a way in our negotiation process to go to them and say, all right, boys, if you want us to play, we want you to play, and that is we want you to help clean up the nasty ones that are out there right now?
Sir, I'll be happy to do that. I can take that to them. Certainly the opportunity is there to ask the question and use that somewhat as leverage. I can tell you from at least everything we've heard from a county perspective, at least right now, from what I've seen, commissioners and the current judge up there are really not in favor of canal developments in the county right now anyway. They will work with us to put something within their subdivision plans or whatever, but right now they're not even looking and wanting to do any of them. So whether or not they would pony up to do something to help assist in clean out, I'll certainly ask the question on it.
So then it's just a city issue. In other words, the canal cut-throughs would then just be in the city proper of Granbury.
The city is the one that really raised the concern with us about EcoDevo and that when we did what we did. The county never has, but we've worked with both of them.
Well, if the county doesn't want any more canals, then
the county has always supported that. It's the city of Granbury. So in those areas where they regulate or whatever, there may be an opportunity with them to see if they would put some manpower behind some cleanup and that to do that.
Well, I'd certainly like to hear from some of my fellow directors, but from where I stand, don't ask me to lift that moratorium if we're not going to get something out of this deal. And either through the county or through the city, some assistance in cleaning up some of the junk that already exists.
We went in there.
You can
in good
tell
faith.
I'm a little passionate about that.
We went in there in good faith. The authority did. Wait, as you know, this last year we cleaned up $100,000 we spent out of the goodness of our heart to clean that up. Whereas I think the city would have left it there, it would have been totally ignored. But went in there and I think made a goodwill effort and achieved some goodwill with the homeowners around the lake properly and the lake users. But I agree with Kent, working with the city is, and I don't live inside the city, thank heavens, it's an impossible situation almost to negotiate those folks right now. I don't know what you do to get their attention. This may be a negotiating item, I don't know, Phil, but they're tough to deal with. The mayor and city manager both are just...
But we're saying they have the enforcement authority. Well, can we require them to enforce what the... As part of this quid pro quo.
Well, you might get an agreement.
We could legally request that they pass an ordinance that would impact their city limits. They do have ordinance making authority, and we could ask them to do that. And certainly we'll pursue that.
I thought you told me it was already on the books that they
There's two things. There's subdivision ordinances, which is the regulation of future development, which is what we've always contemplated through subdivision and platting. And that's one specific area of the local government code. And we've already talked with them about that. And both the city and the county seem amenable. In fact, we met with the city, and they even had talked about their findings of their engineer was very similar to what ours found. So that was a good discussion. I'm talking about if it's a cleanup effort on existing stuff, that sounds more like an ordinance that you'd pass regulating and restricting accumulation of debris and so forth. What becomes problematic is I don't know how you'd pass an ordinance requiring property owners to do something on land that is not their property. That's what's going to become tenuous about it, because in theory the debris accumulates within the body of a canal, and there's a question about the underlying ownership of those canals, depending on what position you've taken. Part of the way that we put the moratorium is we've taken the position that when they take on the water and inundate that property, it's one of two things. Either it becomes part of the lake, or in the alternative, they've improperly appropriated the state's water. So it's just a real question about how you'd enforce.
When you say the existing stuff, is the existing stuff in the city, or is it in the county, or both, or what?
Both, a little bit of both.
And the problems are coming from both of those situations?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sir.
Kent, by adopting the canal standards, can you ensure that the proper cleanup will take place if the moratorium is lifted?
The cleanup of the old canals?
Correct.
We can go and see what they're willing to do, but it may be that even with our issue of, hey, the board may very well not be willing to lift that moratorium until they see something in reference to that, they may or may not sign up to doing it.
The city questioned us doing what we've done so far, quite frankly. I have been in Senator Avery's office with the mayor in there in a call meeting, and nobody, including the senator, I understood why we were there. Once we got in there, the reason we were there to be told, why don't the BRA get out of running my city and let me run my city? And we told him that we were trying to keep an environment to where his lake would not become impaired, and the senator went for our side from the perspective of says, well, y'all continue to work with each other, and let's try to work this out.
I don't know if the WPP, the Water Protection Plan, which is operating or not, will have any bearing on this or not. There are several stakeholders are on that group that are part of the city, but it's not a happy working relationship right now.
Director Adams, the WPP probably would not address what we're talking about. It's not within their scope. However, with the findings of that and some of the fixes that Tiffany may find with the group, it possibly could help somewhat. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
In relation to the boat loading study, if we lift the moratorium on canals and they develop and build their docks, how is that going to affect the number of boats on the lake and for public?
That'll be the next hurdle that we will face if, in fact, the city wants to do a canal, and they know that, a canal development in an area right now that the current boating capacity study says no more development on water-wise than that.
Yeah. Which has pushed them to do
that. How are you going to stop it?
There's one there now, isn't there? Isn't there development that wants to go in?
Well, there was. I don't know what there is today. Right now, a month ago when I sat down with the city manager, I asked him, I said, you know, Harold, we haven't heard anything from you or the mayor in a while about the canal development. I want to let you know where we are with the study one more time. And what he told me was, he said, Ken, right now with the housing industry where it is, the economy where it is, tourism where it is. He said there is no push at all for any kind of development yet, especially an additional housing development with a canal feature at this juncture like there was 2 years ago. He says it's just not there right now.
So so the adoption of this today is to give you the ground rules to take to the city?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
This allows us to go forward and say, okay, if in the future either you or the county want to look at developing a canal development, then these are the standards that we want you to implement, put into your ordinances, whatever it is enforcement-wise, that you can have that would put that onus on a developer to make sure all this gets in place and is implemented. And until you do that, we're not going to take to the board any recommendation to lift the moratorium on canals. On canal development.
Okay, I don't know how I want to include this. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that, but like I said, I want a little more. And I don't know whether it's a partnership. I mean, if we spend $100,000 already, I'm not up for increasing the county and the city's tax revenue so we have more work to do. And I'd really like to see something that, at least in regards to what's within the city limits, that the city's willing to help us on cleaning up some of these existing ones. And if I'm beating a dead horse and y'all want to move on, tell me. I don't want to be unreasonable, but we've gone a long way to help the city and the county out. I sure would like to see them take a small step.
And Kent, what I'm hearing is maybe next time you have a conversation, just, you know, you may mention that this is ancillary, an ancillary concern of the board is the existing conditions of a lot of things that this may be, we're not making any actions on it, but it may be a future concern and a future requirement of possibly a lifting of the moratorium. You may. In your conversation,
I may strongly say to them that it could be a showstopper on lifting it if they're not willing to help. I don't mind doing that at all.
I just want to make one comment, and that's to remind everybody that yes, there is some bad areas in the city, but 90% out there in the county, and the ones that are really bad are totally in the county, like Port Ridgeland, Oak Trail Shores, Sky Harbor, those areas. So the really bad ones you're not going to touch.
Well, it may be a partnership between the three, as yeah. Wade has said. It may require the county getting on board. But I'm just saying you may broach that subject.
We'll take the philosophy and see if during our conversations, and we'll come back to you and give a report and see if an interlocal agreement between the three entities are somehow plausible to come forward. But I don't think we can promise anything other than being able to talk to them.
Well, I think at this point that's the first step at least. Now, getting back to this, are there any questions for Kent concerning what we have in front of us concerning the developments? If not, Kent, would you read the resolution, please?
Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby approves the adoption of canal design standards developed as part of the Brown and Gay Engineers, Inc. Lake Granbury Canal Engineering Study and included in the Phase 3 project guidance document.
You've heard a reading of the resolution. Do I hear a motion to adopt? Motion by Zaccanino, second by
Johnson.
By Johnson. Please poll the board.
Presiding Officer DeFluid?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Beer?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Bellon?
Yes.
Director Barr?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Breeden?
Aye.
Director Carraba?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Moore?
Yes.
Director Porter?
Yes.
Director Sloan?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Steinmetz?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Thank you, Kent.